Welcome to installment 164 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains three commandments. Positive commandment 84, the commandment to bring all sacrifices only in the temple. Positive commandment 85, to bring sacrifices to the temple, even though the obligation has been effective only when the person was outside the land of Israel. And prohibition number 90, the prohibition not to slaughter a sacrifice outside of the temple. The first commandment of today's portion is positive commandment number 84, the commandment to bring all sacrifices only in the Beit HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem. The Rambam tells us that this commandment derives from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 14. Which refers to Hamokim Asher Yivchar Hashem Bachat Shvotecha, the place that Hashem will choose, that Jerusalem had not yet been chosen as the place where the temple would be built. So therefore, Hashem tells us that in this place, Sham Tala Ilesecha, over there you will bring your burnt offerings, Vesham Tase Keil Asher Noichim Etzaveka, and over there you will do everything that I command you. And this commandment to do everything which God commands is this commandment number 84, to bring all offerings specifically to this temple in Jerusalem and to no other place. This commandment, with its related commandments, contains a very interesting lesson as to Talmudic derivation and interpretation of seemingly redundant statements in the Torah. Because we have here a commandment to bring all burnt offerings there, and also to bring everything there, which seems to be redundant. If you must bring everything there, certainly you must bring burnt offerings there. In addition, the previous verse states, Yishomer lecha pen tala eileisecha b'chol mokem asher tireh. You must be careful not to bring your burnt offerings in any other place. So this is a negative statement, a prohibition which seems to repeat the positive statement we just quoted. The Rambam quotes the Sifra and the Talmudic Tractate Zvachim to tell us that there is no repetition here, that all of these verses are needed in order to teach us that all sacrifices have associated with them both a positive commandment, this one, and a prohibition, as we will discuss in tomorrow's portion. First, the Sifra brings verse 13, which tells us that we are prohibited from bringing a burnt offering outside the Beis HaMikdash. Then it extends the general commandment to all sacrifices with our verse here, verse 14. And we learn from that that all sacrifices have associated with them a positive commandment to be brought only in Jerusalem. Since this suffices for today's commandments, we will end the Sifra's discussion here and continue with the necessary portion relevant to tomorrow's commandment in the following portion. The Rambam quotes the Talmudic Tractate Zvachim to tell us that the punishment for a person bringing a sacrifice outside the Beis HaMikdash is kares, excision of the soul, a cutting off of the soul's connection with God. There is a second commandment which is closely related to the first. The Rambam brings from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 26, Rak kodashecha asher yiyu lecha unadorecha, that all of the sacred offerings and pledges, tiso vasa, you must take them and bring them elamakam asher yivchar Hashem, to the place that Hashem chose, again referring to Jerusalem. Why does it say rak, however, these sacrifices you must bring to Jerusalem? We already know that sacrifices must be brought only in Jerusalem. The Rambam tells us that this is a new commandment, and he quotes the Sifri, which asks, why does the verse have to state rak, however, it's signifying the fact that this is a different sort of commandment from that which was related before? The Sifri answers that this refers to a person that undertook an obligation to bring a sacrifice when he was outside the land of Israel. And that even though he promised when he was outside the land of Israel, he is still required to bring it all the way to Jerusalem. That even though, when it comes to Maaser Sheni, or Netzer Avay, there are certain which are also sanctified, that they, nevertheless, if it is too difficult to bring them to Jerusalem, they may be redeemed, and the money brought to Jerusalem. This, however, does not apply to a sacrifice. If a person promised to bring a sacrifice, he is required to bring the sacrifice itself. And the Sifrik continues further and says, why does the verse explicitly state, Tisa Uvasa, you must take it and bring it? This tells you that we are required to take care of the animal and to look after it and to make sure that it reaches Jerusalem safely so that it can be brought in the Beit HaMikdash. The Sifri also states that this requirement applies only to four types of sacrifices. The sin offering, Chatas, the burnt offering, Ola, the guilt offering, Asham, and the peace offering, Shlamim. There are also two prohibitions associated with bringing a sacrifice outside Jerusalem. One of them we will discuss today, and the other in tomorrow's portion. The Rambam tells us that in the Talmudic tractate Krisus, there are two separate prohibitions. One for slaughtering the animal outside the temple, and another one for halah, for actually burning the animal. Prohibition number 90 is a prohibition not to be sheichet bachutz, to slaughter the animal outside the temple in Jerusalem. This prohibition is learned from the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 3, which states, Ish ish mi beis Yisrael, any Jew, asher yishchat she'er oy chesev oy eiz b'machane, who slaughters an ox or a sheep or a goat, or slaughters it outside the camp, meaning any place outside the temple. And verse 4 continues, that the person gets kares. His soul again is cut off with the severe penalty of kares. Prohibition 89 is a separate prohibition, as we will learn tomorrow, being maile b'chutz, burning this animal outside the Beis HaMikdash. This commandment is somewhat problematic, as the Rambam quotes a discussion in the Talmudic tractate Zvachim as to why it is that this commandment only seems to have half of the necessary requirements for a normal commandment. The principle is that any prohibition for which there is a punishment is stated twice in the Torah, once to tell you it's prohibited, and a second time to give you the exact punishment for this particular prohibition. So therefore we see by Prohibition 89 from tomorrow's portion about burning the animal outside the temple, there is one verse telling us the prohibition, the Azhara, and another verse telling us the punishment, the Onesh. However, in our commandment today, Prohibition 90, about slaughtering the animal outside the temple, the verse which we just quoted gives us only the punishment. And it does not say that there is a prohibition. And we know that even though there is a punishment, and we can automatically infer that there must be a prohibition, nevertheless, a principle of the Torah is that the prohibition must have an explicit prohibition, an azhara, and also a punishment, an onesh. After a lengthy discussion in the Talmud, the conclusion is that this does not state explicitly in the Torah. Rather, it is learned by means of one of the Torah's principles of interpretation, that there is a hekesh, a comparison can be drawn from the book of Deuteronomy between someone who burns an animal and someone who does the act of slaughtering an animal. As it says, Tale v'tase, comparing the burning with the action of slaughtering. And we learn that this is the implicated prohibition, even though it does not state explicitly. The punishment for this violation, as we mentioned before, is kares. If the person did it intentionally. If it was done unintentionally, the person must bring a chatas kavua, which is independent of his financial status. In his guide for the perplexed, the Rambam tells us that the effect of these commandments was to wean the Jewish people away from idol worship. Since they were no longer allowed to bring their sacrifices wherever they pleased, they would have to come to Jerusalem, and they would be in contact with the Kohanim, and in an environment of holiness. And therefore, they would come to worship only God, and not turn to any idols. In his legal code, the Rambam points out a very interesting ramification of this law, that even today, that the temple is no longer in existence, a person who slaughters a sacrifice outside the temple is still punishable. He is culpable for his crime. One might ask, how could he be considered culpable? Today, it's not even considered a sacrifice. A sacrifice has to at least be fitting to be a sacrifice. If it is a normally slaughtered animal, it does not come under the purview of this prohibition. The Rambam tells us, however, that today, mutter lahakriv afal pi she'ein bayis. We are permitted today to bring a sacrifice under the proper conditions, of course, even though there is no temple. And the reason is that the original sanctification, Kedusha Rishena, which was present at the time of the sanctification of the Beis HaMikdash, Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Sidlave, that it lasts both for the present times and for all times. Therefore, the sanctification, which was necessary for the offering of a sacrifice, is present today as well. Therefore, we offer our prayers that Mashiach should come and we should be able to fulfill all of the commandments associated with the sacrifices, with the restitution of the sacrificial order. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.